The Witness the World podcast represents the personal views of the host and guests at the time of recording. These views may change over time. The content here is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Any content here should not be construed as financial, medical, or any other type of professional advice. Please consult with a qualified practitioner should you require any professional advice. Good day, everyone. Welcome to episode 8 of the Witness the World podcast. My name is Ben Choi, and today we'll be heading to Belgium. Our guest has had a lengthy career in the hospitality and customer service industries, but things changed for her when her health took a wrong turn. Over time, she developed more serious health conditions, which was initially thought to be the result of the daily stressors of the corporate world, but it was not the case. When she couldn't find the answers from traditional doctors, she explored functional nutrition, which was the key to her turnaround, and it later spurred her onto a new career path. Today, we'll learn about her transformation and how she helps others make breakthroughs with their health through nutrition. Audrey Sersday, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Very excited about this podcast.
So, Audrey, I'm equally excited because the topic of nutrition isn't given the coverage I think it deserves these days. So, from reading your story, it sounds like you made quite the shift over the years in terms of nutrition through, you know, going through some health challenges. And so just wondering if you can just give us a little bit of background and share with us, you know, how your views of nutrition has changed over the years.
Sure. So actually, my story starts quite some years ago, when I was 18 years old, and my father passed away from cancer. And, you know, it was in the mid-90s. So at that time, information was not as accessible as it is today. But from that day, I knew that his death was related to nutrition and lifestyle choices. So, and I felt deep inside of me that in the future, I would have, or I would do something in that field. After his death, I had a few challenging years. Because of that, I didn't really know what I wanted for myself. So I went to university and I did not choose nutrition. It didn't even cross my mind at that time. And I actually wanted to study psychology because I've always been interested in people and human behaviors. But from my mother's perspective, it was not something that was good enough because I would have to, you know, have my own practice, and her beliefs were more than, you know, you need to be an employee to have a safe, to be safe. So I studied communication, not because I wanted to, but because a few of my friends were actually going in that direction. But in parallel, I was still extremely interested in nutrition, in health. So I kept on reading and discovering things. And finally, in 2014, I studied nutrition. And I started working part-time with businesswomen and athletes. As you mentioned, there was my corporate career on the side, or not on the side, but it was the main part. And so I went to the US for an amazing opportunity, but unfortunately, that's where the disaster started.
I see. So I wondered if you can dig if we can dig into those disasters, like that's when you started, developing different conditions you didn't know what they were the result of. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that challenge that presented to you for a number of years.
Yeah, so when I moved to Miami, I was extremely excited. It was an amazing position. I would have a big team working with me, and but I was also doing very long hours, and I had a very demanding client, so I was under a lot of stress and pressure, and my sleep was very, I was waking up in the middle of the night, thinking that my phone was ringing, but it wasn't. I couldn't, I couldn't be myself anymore, but I didn't realize that really at the beginning. And then I thought, yeah, it's the job. And then when the job will be a little bit, more, that the project will be more advanced, I will be okay and everything will be fine. So I didn't really pay a lot of attention to that, even though I knew from a health perspective that there was or there could be a problem. At that time also, my lifestyle was not as balanced as it is today. So as I said, high level of stress, disturbed sleep. Also, my diet was still pretty much healthy, but I needed to unwind from work, and then to do that, I was going out with my friends, restaurants, alcohol, and a lot of not unhealthy food, but not as balanced as it should have been. And that really settled the terrain for bad bacteria and dysbiosis to appear in my gut. And unfortunately, a few months later, I started having, I developed like serious symptoms like hair loss, extremely painful periods, mood swings, fatigue, a brain fog. And I had also, I was alternating between constipation and diarrhea. So it was not good. I was also crying for no reason. It was very, very odd to live. At some point, I thought to myself, am I going crazy here? What is going on with me? And then I literally burn out, and I quit my job. I left the US. I moved back to Luxembourg because at that time, with my family, with my mom, we moved from Belgium to Luxembourg, and I got some rest. When I was in Luxembourg, I visit different doctors, like the family doctor, but also gastroenterologist, endocrinologist, gynecologist. And then they run some tests, and unfortunately, they didn't seem to find anything abnormal. And I was extremely frustrated, and I felt helpless and misunderstood. And I was like, what am I doing now? I had the choice to accept this. I was exhausted and anxious, and I felt like crap, honestly. And my body, I could really feel that my body was letting me down, or I could go elsewhere to find solutions. And that's when I actually decided to deep dive into health and nutrition again. And I actually found solution through functional medicine and functional nutrition, because they're looking at the person like, a whole person. So for example, let's take a random example. So if you have eczema on your skin, you're gonna go to a dermatologist, and he will tell you to put some corticoid cream or steroid cream on your skin, right? But it will not look for the source of the problem. Why is it happening? And when not discovered, but when I found out about functional nutrition, I actually found out that all my symptoms were actually linked to one problem. It was my gut. And I had a very, very bad dysbiose and a huge candida overgrowth. And that brings the problem that I had and all the symptoms. You know, this is, in a few words, what I've been through. And now with thinking about this, I feel it was really a blessing, because I think that when you deeply believe that and that you can receive, you know, you open enough to receive from, you can call it, you know, the life, the universe, God, this universe will actually show you the path. And it, I learned it the hard way. But my path is actually to help people and to be in this nutrition field. And without this adventure, even though it wasn't really a funny adventure, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't have made those choices to finally do, you know, be in the nutrition field and be able to help people. And I wouldn't be here, you know, sharing this podcast with you.
Thanks for sharing, Audrey. So I'd like to shift things now to a list of food-related items that I want to get your take on, your opinion, and we can kind of go over, is it a good or a bad thing in your expert opinion? Should we be putting these things in our body or not? So the list will start with, it's 6 items on the list here I want to go over. And the first item is refined sugars.
Okay, you want the long answer. So short answer, bad. Long answer is, sugar. When you got sick, when you have a problem, or even in when you're healthy, sugar is always a problem, because it will increase inflammation, it will impact your immune system, it will increase your cholesterol, you will have, you know, heart disease risk. It would also affect the absorption of minerals and vitamins. It will disturb your gut flora, affect your hormonal balance, you know, impair your brain function. So yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And we eat way too much sugar. And when I say sugar, we have refined sugar, you know, the white sugar, the sugar in powder that we find everywhere. But you also have pasta, rice, which are also sugars. Even if they are whole, they are still sugar. And we eat way too much of it, because in the food pyramid, we see, you know, the base are cereals and how do you say in English? You know, like
carbohydrates, perhaps?
Carbohydrates, sorry. Thank you. So the base are the carbohydrates and also the cereals, when it's not correct. The base should be our vegetables and our fruits. We are definitely eating way too much sugar, and it has a terrible, terrible impact on our life today.
Perfect. So speaking of carbohydrates, what's your take on general bread products?
So gluten, right? Well, let's say that for a healthy person who has no allergy, no intolerance, no sensitivity to gluten, well, as long as it's not the base of your healthy, your diet, then I would say, okay, eat a little bit. Why not? But it shouldn't be like you eat bread every day or eat pasta every day, or that should, or cookies, or, you know, or cakes. That definitely shouldn't be the base of your diet. You know, my grandma used to say that we should eat a little bit of everything. And I believe she was right. We should be eating a little bit of everything and have a lot of variety in our diet. That's really the most important thing. But now if you have problems with gluten. You make a blood test and you realize that you have allergy or intolerance. So allergy and intolerance, it means that it will impact your immune system. If you have a sensitivity, it doesn't mean that it will impact your immune system, but it can actually make you uncomfortable for some reason, like a bit bloated, or you feel like super heavy after eating gluten. But for those people who have allergies, so the allergy to gluten is called celiac disease. And people who have intolerance, they should definitely avoid it. Celiac, there's unfortunately no solution for this disease. You just have to stay away from gluten for your entire life. And for people with intolerance, then they would need to, repair their gut as much as they can. And yeah, at the beginning, stay away from gluten as well, because this has an impact on your gut lining. So if you want some technical, explanation, this is, imagine this is your gut lining. Okay, so it's microscopic. It's like you have the skin that is like this. And when you eat food and you digest food, for example, the amino acids from protein, they need to go into your bloodstream from your gut, right? So there is a protein called zonulin who will actually activate that process. So it will open just a little bit to let the vitamins, the minerals, etc., and go into your bloodstream. But with people with an impaired gut lining, the production of zonulin is too important. So instead of just opening a little bit, it will open even more, allowing non-digested food to go into your bloodstream. And that's how inflammation starts, because your immune system sees undigested food in your bloodstream and they are like, "What is this? I don't know this. I'm not supposed to, I don't know this is an like a virus. This is something bad. I need to fight it." So your immune system starts fighting this food that shouldn't be in your bloodstream, and this is how problem starts, and we see a lot of those allergies starting. Yeah.
Thanks for that overview on the bread stuff and the process there, Audrey. So I guess next on my list I have dairy products. Wondering, is that good, bad, or kind of a neutral type food in your mind?
Dairy can also be a problem when it comes to the gut lining and what we call so the leaky gut. Well, from my personal point of view, I don't find normal to eat dairy because it's the milk for a baby animal. So if you look at the food chain, there is no reason why a human being would eat the milk from, another animal. So that's really, for me, that's the basic. But it doesn't mean that I eat dairy. I don't eat a lot because I'm not enjoying it very much. But sometimes, a little bit of Parmigiano or just a piece of cheese. I don't think this is something that we should eat like every day. That said, there are alternatives that are really interesting, and by alternative I mean dairy alternatives, like fermented dairy, like you would have kefir, for example, or you would make your own yogurt at home. This is interesting because it will bring good bacteria to your gut. If you don't eat like large amounts of dairies, there is no inflammation problems, or they could not really couldn't have really a problem with dairy. But also, many more and more people today are becoming allergic or intolerant, and that's for several reasons. Also because our microbiome is less and less strong. So it's because of what we eat in general. We even babies today, they got born with altered gut flora, and they haven't done anything yet. They're just born. This is because we as parents, as human being, have a health that is not as good as it was 100 years ago.
Thanks for your insights there, Audrey. So, in addition to food, I think it's good to point out that what we cook our foods in. And my next item on the list is oils, canola oils, and grapeseed oils, those kind of things. I've heard that they're not so great, and perhaps avocado oil and olive oil are maybe on higher on the list of what to use. Just wondering, what are your general thoughts on the oils?
So I love fat. And fats are extremely, extremely important for our health. And this is, I think, one of the most important food group, along with vegetables. And you're right, there are a lot of refined oils like sunflower, safflower, peanut oil, corn. Those cooking oils, or even rapeseed, and you have also grapeseed, and this is really not good at all. We shouldn't be eating them. It's something that we have created, thinking that it could be a great option, but it's not. Today we can really see that it has an impact on the body, and it creates a lot of inflammation in the body. For cooking, my favorite would be ghee or lard or meat fat or even coconut oil, and to be used, let's say, on salads, and also when your meal is cooked and it's on your plate already, it would be avocado oil, flaxseed, hemp. Also, of course, olive oil. It's one of the best one. But what I really recommend is to not to use every day the same thing or the same oil. It's to change and to make sure that you have different kind of oils, because they have some of them have more omega-3, omega-6, omega-9, and then you want to make sure that you have the variety on the oils and the fat that you use.
Excellent. Thanks, Audrey. So you mentioned, things that, people create, or, society has created. And one thing that's been created, it's kind of a trendy thing, is plant-based products. I've tried some. I bet you've maybe tried some too over the years. I think there's a big difference between, more like plant-based products that are true to its name versus like synthetically kind of created products. I do think there's a difference, and I'm curious to get your take on it. We have these Beyond Meat burgers, Impossible burgers, and when I take a look at the packaging, it says all these different chemicals in there that I can't even pronounce. So that's a tip for me, maybe, that say, hey, we gotta look into this a little further. So maybe it's not so good for you. I'm just curious to know what your take is on these created food products, on the plant-based variety.
Well, the short answer would be that I don't think it's a good idea to eat those foods. As you mentioned, it's highly processed, transformed. There are ingredients that you don't even know what that is. If you don't know what it is, don't put it in your body, because your body won't know what to do with it. The body is able to transform the nutrient, the food like you find it in the nature. So it's meat, vegetables, fruits, the oils, the nuts and seeds. Your body is not able to process, like pesticides or additives. It's something that the body cannot process. So it's definitely not healthy. And in general, I think that we should eat what we find in the nature, or as close as it is from nature. So anything that that comes into a package or a box is processed, and that should not be what we eat on a daily basis.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for covering that one, Audrey. And then last on my list is organic versus non-organic foods. Is there a huge difference? I'm sure you had this question asked before, so just curious to wrap things up here for the items on my list here. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I will go for organic. As I said, you should eat the food as you find it in nature, and I would go for organic because the non-organic food, what we call the standard food, is actually not healthy. There's plenty of pesticides on this, and you will eat this, and then you will alter your gut bacteria, you will alter your health in general. We see today in different medical research that there is a link between cancer and pesticides. So I would stay away as much as I can, eat local whenever it's possible, organic. And I really feel, you know, sometimes I think it's kind of stupid. What we did is we actually create a label to say that a food is organic, while it should be the opposite. Normal food are the one that you will grow in your backyard. I mean, if you have one. And it's not the one that is full of pesticides.
Yeah, thanks for that, Audrey. So one follow-up question on the organic versus non-organic question. Just curious, like, you know, I've always thought to myself, like, how do we really know, you know, organic? Like, are you confident, like, I know things are different in Belgium than they are in Canada, but like when there's a label that says organic, how confident are you that it is truly organic? Like, unless you and I track the product to the source, then, you know, we see the whole chain and how it's produced, then we know 100%. But how confident are you that, you know, things are as they should be and it's fully 100% organic when it's labeled as such?
Yeah, it's a good question. So you cannot be sure at 100%, definitely. That's why I think it's important to buy as local as you can. So you can discuss with the producers and see, you know, if you can feel if it's, you know, if they are honest or not. But I totally understand it's not possible for everybody, even here in Belgium. I mean, you cannot meet all the vegetables or fruit producer. It's totally impossible. You have to trust, I guess. And even though if it's not perfect, hoping that it's better, that's the only way. And I don't think there is any other way. It's really about trust and buying local, buying, you know, fruits and vegetables that are in the season also. There is no reason to buy strawberries in December, for example, because that looks totally awkward and unhealthy, and they won't be sweet anyway, and you want sweet strawberries. It's about trust. I would say it's about trust and knowing who from where you buy your products.
Thanks for covering that, Audrey. So yeah, we got into a lot of different groups of food and types, and want to kind of turn now to, you know, you were talking about some of the outcomes of having certain foods and the reactions to that. So I kind of noticed, like, over the years, speaking with friends and for myself, you know, certain foods cause, like, sometimes, like, bloating issues, digestive issues, you know, brain fog, I think you talked about there. Inflammation and, you know, gas and skin issues. So, you know, a lot of these things I've personally experienced. I've kind of done a deep dive like you have, trying to talk to different practitioners, doing elimination diets, and got to a better place through that journey myself. So I guess my next question is, At what point, does it trigger to you, based on your experience with clients and so forth, maybe you eat a certain food and, for a few weeks in a row that you got these certain symptoms? Is that the point where you got to say, hey, maybe I got to pull out dairy out of my diet or some other food product? At what point do you need to kind of make the switch there? Is it like after a couple of weeks? I just wonder if you can share a little bit about that. And then maybe, what are your thoughts on the elimination diet as well to, do a little bit of an experiment with yourself to find a better level of health?
So about food, personally, I was diagnosed with this dysbiosis and the candida overgrowth that I had. So I had to follow a food protocol that was pretty strict at the beginning, like extremely strict. And then I was able to reintroduce very slowly, some food. So basically, what I was eating was vegetables, some fruits, but not all of them, just the ones that are low in sugar. I could eat all the vegetables I wanted, include, the most sweet ones, but I couldn't eat carbohydrates, cereals, and so on. And I was eating a lot of fat. And then at some point, I was able, as I was saying, to reintroduce slowly some food. So I started to reintroduce some carbohydrates, but just a little because I've never been a fan of carbohydrates. I feel kind of heavy after eating them. I've never been, like allergic or intolerant to anything. Now to your question about elimination diet. So the use of elimination diet, it's very useful to see if there is like an allergy or an intolerance or even insensitivity to a food. So what we do usually is you take a notebook and then you list what you eat. During a couple of weeks. And then you also know the reaction. Of course, we can have immediate reaction to a food, but we can also have reaction after even up to 72 hours. This is why it's also crucial to write everything down, because if you have a reaction that happens 72 hours later, you don't know exactly what to react you react to. Then you have to fine-tune everything and then, try again some of the food that you had in the past hours to see what was wrong, which one it was. So it takes quite some time, but then you can really, when you find the culprit, you can remove it for a few times, for a few weeks, even 30 days, and see if you feel better. And then, of course, this will depend on the protocol or the health challenges we're working on, but we will or will not reintroduce it. As I mentioned earlier, for example, if it's gluten and you have celiac disease, of course, we will not reintroduce gluten. But it's been very, very helpful to identify what is causing bloating or diarrhea or even constipation.
Yeah, thanks for your insights there, Audrey. So I want to kind of pivot now to, solutions. And you mentioned, different kind of diet. There's different things like paleo diets, keto diets, diets of just moderation. And from what your experience and your wealth of knowledge in the field there, is there such a thing as like a perfect diet? They seem to be competing with each other all the time, or it's just knowing your body, knowing your symptoms, and kind of being in tune with that. Maybe that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I would love to tell you that there is a perfect diet, but we are all different. We live in different countries, we have different origins, we have different genes, we have different lifestyles. So we are all different. So there is no perfect diet. However, there are some basics, the base of your diet should always be vegetables and fruits. Protein, and fats. And yes, you can eat carbohydrates, but not in large amounts like we do it today. It's not what our ancestor have eaten in the, you know, like 100 years ago, even more than that. And our diet changed very recently, actually, because it started to change with the industrial revolution in the 70s, where we start producing, you know, processed food, packaged food. Before that, it was not existing. You wouldn't buy food in package. You would buy fruit and vegetables and meat and fat, and you would cook at home. As I mentioned earlier, I really think that we should eat the food that is like you find it in nature, and also feel how you are after eating this or that. It's very important to listen to your body. It's very important to tune in and to see, you know, what is, okay, is this food right for me? Oh, I don't feel okay. What did I eat earlier? Did I eat, sorry, earlier? Then try to identify if there is something that is, you know, it's maybe not even a sensitivity. It's just like something you don't feel okay eating. Like I mentioned for myself, if I eat pasta as a meal, for example, I will feel awful for the rest of the day. So I just don't eat it. And when I eat carbohydrates, I always mix them with vegetables. So I'm sure that I have enough fibers in my diet, because that's really important. You know, your microbiome, your gut flora, is actually a mix of bacteria, yeast, and they live in symbiosis, in harmony. And there are billions of there in your gut. And the food you eat is actually the food you eat for them. So if you eat the right food, you're gonna have symbiosis, you're gonna have a happy gut flora, and then you're gonna have ultimately a very good health. But as soon as we introduce sugar, bad fats, also some medication, PPIs, or even, you know, antibiotics, you will start to really hurt your gut flora, and this will have an impact of your entire health. And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, stress is also a culprit. And this is also something that we have to keep in mind, because today we live in a very, very stressful world, and we kind of forget that we are under a lot of stress and pressure, and this has also a very big impact on our health.
Excellent. Yeah, thanks for the share, Audrey. So yeah, you mentioned stress, and this kind of leads into my next question, and it's more the mental side of eating, and I think it's very important just the same here. So people have done things like stress eating. I know people that do that, or maybe sometimes they eat at different seasons of the year, seasonal eating phases, I guess you could call it. So yeah, just wondered if you could touch on, you know, how important like the mental side of nutrition is, how we can, you know, stay focused when these different things happen, work related stresses, and yeah, just different times of the year, like how do we stay on top of it? Do you have any suggestions from your experience?
First, I would say that you have to be aware of your triggers. So be aware of, you know, what is putting you in that situation, a stressful situation. And write it down. That's one of my thing, is write things down. Because it would be like a journal, you know. You would write down how you feel, why you feel this way, and instead of keeping everything in your mind and then, you know, thinking about it over and over again, you would put it in a journal, and so it will actually release a little bit of stress from your brain. Also, work on, on your anxiety and on your stress with different techniques, like we heard a lot about, like yoga, meditation, or simply, enjoying nature. I know it sounds like we heard it like millions of times, but it's really helping. And you have to find the thing that you like. I mean, not everybody has to do yoga, because everybody's doing yoga today. No, find what you like and what helps you. For some people, it would be, like exercising or boxing. But it will release the stress, and it will ultimately release the connection that we make between stress and food, because at some point it's really like a vicious cycle. You eat to compensate something, and then from a gut perspective, this kind of I'm stressed, I eat becomes a habit. Like everything in life is a habit. It's something that you like, a reflex. Okay, I has this happened, this is what I do in reaction to what is happening. For the gut now, for the gut perspective, we have to understand that those bacteria are actually talking to our brain. So when your trigger, your stress even happens, then the good bacteria send a message to the brain: hey, I want chocolate, or I want junk food, or I want burgers. And this is why I was saying be aware of your triggers, because when your gut bacteria start talking to your brain, you need to be able to say, okay, we're taking a break here, and I will, put these things in place, like be aware, like work on your stress with meditation, yoga, be mindful. And I understand it's hard to be mindful when you have different stressors around you, and you feel that everything around you is pushing you to be even more nervous and anxious. Sometimes life is hard, and you don't even know where to start to actually be able to say stop, because it's overwhelming. And also, I would say the last thing that I would recommend is to find, whenever it's possible, healthier alternatives to what you give to, your brain and your gut when you feel stressed or anxious. Maybe something that your body is not expecting. So instead of, I don't know, a burger, try a piece of chicken. At least it's healthier. It's not perfect, but it's healthier. And cut back on sugar little by little, because sugar is a big problem when it comes to stress and inflammation.
Thanks for sharing that, Audrey. So yeah, you covered a lot there, and I think this is really great information. And speaking of information, I've read some literature over the years about, your body kind of goes through some kind of a reset or a renewal over maybe 6, 7 years every so often. I'm just curious if you've read stuff like this. And to me, when I hear that, it's almost like, your nutrition and just what you do every day. Like, you got to be very mindful of, how your body is changing. It's not going to stay the same for your whole life. And this is a learning for me. So, certain foods that might have been good, for a while, it's not good for the next phase of my life. And conversely, some foods that didn't work for me, sometimes they can be reintegrated in my body as things change. So, yeah, I just wondered if you had any thoughts on, as your body changes, like, think that does that naturally happen, and or it's just like it's an ongoing kind of thing to just be responsive to what your body does and just be aware if is that's the most important thing.
Yeah, it's definitely important to be aware of your body and to be aware of, what you actually need. And yes, your body change throughout the years, because as a woman, when you get older, you go through menopause, and then your hormonal system changes, So you might need to eat more of X, Y, Z, to be able to maintain health in general. For men as well, for pregnant women also it's different. You need to adapt your diet a little bit to make sure that you have enough nutrients for your baby. And throughout the years, yes, definitely it's really, and maybe that's not the easy part. The easiest part is, yeah, it's to learn. I think it's to learn about yourself and to learn about what you need as a person. And to feel, really feel, because we tend to lose the connection between, our life and our body. This is also something that is kind of new, if you look at, people like 200 or 300 years ago, they were really like in touch with themselves. There was no technology, there was no internet, there was no iPhone, and they would be in connection with themselves but also with the people in the same room, and they would share, the way they would share food and the way they would share information was so different from today that I think, and I know I'm extrapolating from your initial question, but I think this also impacts our health at some point.
Thanks for covering that, Audrey. So I want to now kind of jump into, speaking of sharing of information. So when, let's say if I was a new client of yours, I needed help, I'm just curious, like, what is your maybe three-step process, maybe just give it the first three main steps to, helping people through health issues, maybe it's gut issues. Just wonder if you can, if we can explore your approach and just share a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So first thing first, we would have, a 30-minute conversation, so you can explain what is your problem? What are your goals? What are you looking for in terms of health and nutrition? Then we would have what I call a health history session. It's a 2-hour session where we go through all the details about your health, your background, your family health. And I go really, really into details here. I ask a lot of questions. And that helps me to understand what's going on in your body. The third step would be that we would run some tests, blood tests, urine tests, if it's necessary, of course. It's not necessary for everybody. But I often think that it gives you a good idea of where you are in terms of, health. What are you lacking in terms of vitamins or minerals? Is your lipid balance okay, or do we need to do something here? Or even further, when you look into hormones, how are your hormones? Is there a problem there? And of course, the gut. Because everything starts in the gut, really, literally everything. So this is also something we spend quite some time on discussing. How is your gut flora, your digestion? Do you have any, discomfort, bloating, constipation, that kind of thing? And from that point, then I establish a protocol, a food protocol. But not only food, because it's really like a 360 approach. So we work also on, environmental issues, toxins, stress, sleep disorders. It could be also, anxiety problems, which is really something different from stress. And we work on lifestyle changes, because that's what it is about.
Thanks for sharing that overview, Audrey. I think those are some it's a great process that you got there. And so in summary, I guess we covered a lot of, information here. And for me, I think one of the biggest takeaways is you just got to You got to know your body, and if your body is, you know, doing certain things there, write things in a notebook, as you were saying, and monitor it. And if it's going on for a while, I think you need to kind of dive into that a little bit more, and with the help like a practitioner like yourself or others. That's my main takeaway. I just wondered if is there like other, maybe one or two other main takeaways people should leave this podcast with in your mind?
You know, today, and that's something I read a few years ago, is that more than 75% of illnesses have a link with food. And I think it's a huge percentage. So imagine that if 75% of food can be your poison, imagine that the same amount or maybe even more can actually be your ally and heal you. And you know, what always surprised me is that in medical school, doctors receive little or no knowledge about nutrition and food, while it's the number one fuel for your body. It's often when you go to the doctor, you don't receive any information about which food you should be eating, not eating. And I think it's a little bit sad, actually. And the other thing I wanted to mention is, you know, the gut for me is like the most important part of the body, like I mentioned. And if you would need to define human health, you would say that there are actually five axes. You have immunity, metabolism, hormonal system, cognition, so brain health, and genetic expression. And those five axes cover actually all the elements we need to survive as human. Okay, so without that, there would be problems. And the crazy part is that your gut or your microbiome is actually interconnected with each of the five axes. So that's why I'm saying that the gut is really, really important, and we need to take care of it. And if you take care of it, you will be healthy.
Excellent. Those are some great takeaways, Audrey. So as we wind down this podcast, I always want to leave things off with asking my guests a two-part question. So here goes. What are you most grateful for, and what are you most looking forward to in the future?
Well, I'm grateful for many things, you know, like my family, my husband, my son. But I'm really grateful that I can share my knowledge with my patients. You know, when you work with someone, it's about empathy and it's about trust. And at some point, you really build a relationship of honesty. And I feel deeply grateful that those people give me their trust to support them through their help.
And what are you most looking forward to in the future?
You know, in January, we're going to move in the south of France. So this is going to be a big change for us. And I'm extremely excited about this. So this is one of the things. And of course, being able to share, you know, my knowledge and to be able to help people as much as I can. It's my daily motivation.
Audrey, good luck with the move. And I gotta say, it's been great having you on. If people want to know more about you and learn about you, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram at Blossom with Audrey. They can find me on Facebook, Blossom with Audrey. And they can send me an email, you know, at audrey@blossomwithaudrey.com. So yeah, that's basically it.
Thanks for sharing, Audrey. We'll be sure to add those to our show notes. So that's a wrap for episode 8. Thanks for joining us, and namaste, everyone.